Well, I made it back from Poland. It's good to be back. It was a good vacation. A lot of things to kind of absorb there. Everything from Auschwitz and Birkenau to John Paul II and Sister Faustina, Divine Mercy, Our Lady of Częstochowa. Whole lot of stuff there. And of course, being in Europe, it's got a lot of history there. So I'm still absorbing an awful lot of information, just kind of putting things together. One of the things that kind of struck me there is just, you know, Auschwitz and Birkenau. And, you know, Auschwitz is the concentration camp / death camp. You know, they worked people to death, but they didn't, but they also had the purpose of just killing people there. So they had their own gas chambers and crematorium, I guess, whatever. And then Birkenau, which is specifically just the death camp, they didn't want anybody to work. They just killed them right away. And that was kind of the dark side of Poland. And you kind of look around and, you know, Auschwitz, the town, not too far away. And, you know, people would ask, you know, well, you know, how could you do nothing with all that going on? You know, Birkenau is about 400 acres of death camp. 400 acres of death camp. That's insane. How could they do that? How could they let something like that go by? And of course, the people of Poland, because the Nazis built their concentration camps on Poland territory, Polish people were to say, you know, if we said something, we would have been part of those ashes falling from the sky. And we would have been dead, you know. They knew the rate that they were killing people. And they would have been able to take care of that town, no problem, you know. So they were afraid. Fear. And so it was kind of interesting just to see how the Polish people had to deal with the suppression of the Nazis, communism. And even before World War I, there were 123 years, there was no Poland on the map. They were suppressed by a lot of the Marxism, communistic thought. And so it was just kind of interesting. It gave me a perspective on John Paul II. Because John Paul II, in Poland, they're in the midst of the culture wars. You know, we hear of the culture wars. We don't understand what it really means. Or what it's all about. What's a culture? A big deal. What does a culture do? We think of it as very practical. It was everything, especially to the Polish people. When the communists came in, they would demolish any building. Any kind of character of the people must be suppressed. And it was through their faith, the faith of the Polish people, that they were actually able to hold on. It was their faith that got them through things. One of the things you might have heard me say, but I say this often, this is very important, the importance of our faith. You know, in schools, we learn math so that we can balance the checkbooks. We learn English, and we take English classes because we need to know how to communicate and to learn. Our faith gets us through life. And that's what our faith does. And the Polish people understood that, especially with people under such tight controls who would lie to them and try to suppress them with lies and give them all this garbage to keep them down. And so they persevered in their faith through the grace of, you know, John Paul II and learning how to, you know, they would have plays, artwork, music, folk music. That's why John Paul II is big on folk music, because it kept the culture, kept the spirit of the community alive. Now I'm going to flop over to the gospel message, and I'll come back to that. This gospel message, it's kind of an interesting message. There's a lot of stuff in here. When Bartimaeus is calling out, he's calling him Son of David. Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. And then when he gets to Jesus, He says, Master. He calls him Master. Now, Son of David is a son of the king, David. So he's looking at authority. Now, when we think of authority and we think of master especially, we think of the one cracking the whip. Wow, I'm going to get you and some evil person. Bartimaeus isn't looking at that. He's looking at someone of love. Why do I say that? Because he's asking for a favor. He's begging God for a favor. There has to be some sort of faith in this person in order to ask a favor from them. So this whole idea of this authority Bartimaeus is discovering is really rooted in love. And what's interesting in all this, now you got all this here, he's asking him. Now, Bartimaeus starts out calling to Jesus. And then Jesus says, no, call him. And then and then Jesus replies, take courage, or the disciples say to Bartimaeus, take courage, get up, Jesus is calling you. Bartimaeus calls Jesus, and Jesus in response calls Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is asking for a favor. That's his purpose of the call. I want to see. I need your grace. I need your help. And I trust that you will give this to me. Coming to a master, you wouldn't just come if you don't trust. Jesus responds. Jesus responds with this. So he's calling him. Calling him to what? We'll get to that a little bit later. But Jesus' response is, what do you want me to do for you? I want to see. Go your way. Your faith has saved you. He didn't say go away. He said, go. Go your way. So as Jesus is calling, this is the call of Jesus. Go your way. What is your way, Bartimaeus? The very next line. Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. He follows Jesus, and he follows him unreservedly. He's not ashamed of the gospel, not ashamed of Jesus, but he follows him. Why? Because it was on calling him that saved him. It is through Jesus Christ. It is through his faith that he is saved. Saved not just from blindness, but now he's been called to do more than see. He's been called to live the life of Jesus Christ. This is our call too. We are called to follow Jesus Christ. Why? Because we're just going to be obedient to a master? No. Because this master loves us. And he wants us to follow his way of goodness, his way of holiness, his peace, his ways of peace and love. This is the way that we are called to live. It is through his faith that Bartimaeus finds his way. Through listening to the call of Jesus, that he knows that without his faith, he would still be blind. And as we go back to Auschwitz and Birkenau, and the Polish people and how they fought for many, many, many years, many generations. For 123 years, Poland wasn't even on the map. They were suppressed. And it was through their culture, their Catholic culture, their culture of faith that they were able to carry on. When I got a little bit of a brief time in Czechoslovakia, in Prague. Of course, that's in communist territory. It was an interesting experience. Prague was just beautiful. It was like a museum, though. It was like a perfectly, I mean, just immaculate. The streets were barren. You didn't see anybody walking across, nobody walking down the side, nothing. It was just the weirdest thing. It was like, I was talking to my sister, because my sister had been there. She's like, it's walking back. It's like taking a step back 500 years. These 500-year-old buildings are in perfect shape. And that's what communism did. It did well that way. But when I went to the cash register to buy something, it was the weirdest. It's the only time I've seen it. It's the only, it was just like, This young woman in her 20s, early 20s, there's just like this blank expression. There was like spiritual, total and utter spiritual death. There was nothing. It's like if you were to snap their fingers, it would have been a blank stare. I mean, it was that bad. It was just the weirdest thing. And everybody was walking around that way. They just see them, their shoulders are down. And they're just, it's like zombies. I don't know. It's weird. But that's what communism did to the people, because the people gave up their faith in Czechoslovakia. That was the fruit of people not living out their faith. Whereas in Poland, the people were alive. There's a lot of good things going on in Poland. Construction going on everywhere. They built like 6 skyscrapers in Warsaw. They're doing it to cover up the one Stalin built. So nobody has to look at it. But their spirit is alive because that was part of the culture wars. It was who they are. It was stamped. Their faith was stamped in their very being. It was the root of who they are. And it was through the faith that they were able to overcome the suppression. John Paul II, they looked to the church, and John Paul II helped them. And there was this other guy, a priest, Venerable, I love saying his name because it's so hard to say. It's a Polish name. So, Jerzy Popiołuszko. So, say that fast 10 times, right? Father Jerzy Popiołuszko, he was martyred in 1984. And the communists killed him. He was thrown into the river with a bag of rocks tied to his feet. And he was tied and up and choked. Kind of a thing, but now Father Jerzy, just Pope preached peace, love, forgiveness, mercy. I don't know, the communists just didn't like it, but it was through the priests and it was through their faith in the solidarity movement that they had there that they were able to have joy. It's not a revolution. It's just the people were so filled with joy. The joy just overflowed and it just muted out the communism. It was an amazing thing. If you guys remember yourself, it was like there was not a bullet shot. It was through living out their faith that got them through those times and overran the oppression of the lies. Today, that should apply to us to do as well, our faith, and how our faith carries us through everything. We have today, with the government, the current government, trying to oppress religious liberty. This is unprecedented in the United States. Never, never has this happened before. Where through the HHS mandate, the Human Health Services mandate, we cannot practice our faith. The government is telling us how to live out our faith, and the church what to teach, what you can practice. This is huge. Now, the government, I know a lot of you might think that just, oh, this is just about contraception and abortion. No, it's not. It's not at all. This just is just an excuse. Once you can suppress the voice of the church on one issue, once that precedence has been established legally, it'll be legal for all other issues, just like in any other legal issue. In a court of law, if you were to do something in one thing, say like Roe versus Wade, it was established abortion is legal, it carries. Boom. In all situations. That's the way the legal system works. And so if you can suppress religion and faith in that way, you can in those issues, you can do that in all issues. See, as a tactician, as somebody who wants to plan things out that way, what's the weakest position of the church? Where is it that people are less likely to support the church? That is it. I mean, that's the dogma of society, that abortion is okay and contraception is okay. So you're going to attack that so that the people are not going to support the church. Once you get that to go down, the church goes down, and then nobody has a voice. St. Vincent de Paul, we wouldn't be able to do that. Catholic Charities, Catholic Relief Services, all that's gone. All our missionaries, gone. We can't do that because the state is now saying you can't do that. So you see how this HHS mandate is there to suppress the faith of the people. Once you can't live out your faith will die. It's kind of like teaching. What do you do when you teach a child? You know, you have them up and singing, you're having them doing all these dancing around, you go to field trips, you physically go to field trips, you do all these physical activities to help get all the senses going so that they can learn their math, their English, their history, their whatever they're trying to learn. It gets all the senses going, and if those senses are taken away, you can't learn as much, can you? It's the same thing with learning our faith. We have to physically manifest our faith to grow in faith. If we don't live out our faith, we can't understand our faith or grow in it. It's like love. If we don't act out love, love dies. Right? If your spouse never did an act of love for you, or you never did an act of love for your spouse, would that love consist? Would that keep going? No. It wouldn't. It's the same thing with faith. This is the importance of what's going on today. It is through our church that we also have a collective voice. That's another thing that the communists understood. It is through the collective voice of the people. That's why they started unions, right? Unions were started because you had individuals doing things and they were taken advantage of by other companies. So they had a collective voice so they could go against the people who had their businesses using and abusing people. It's the same thing with the church. Our religion gives us a unified voice. And once that unified voice gets silenced, then you can't speak out about issues for your children. What are they teaching at the public school systems? How are they telling you to be a parent? Or whether or not you need a license even to have a child? Because they think that's been debated in America. And they're still bringing it up. All these things are going on. We need to stand up for our faith. But why do we do it? Let's go back to Bartimaeus. When you look at the response of Bartimaeus, he followed him on the way. He received his sight first, though. If he didn't receive his sight and Jesus said, go your way, your faith has saved you, but never received his sight again, he wouldn't have followed because he wouldn't have known. He wouldn't have known the love of God. He wouldn't have known the grace of God. It was a response of love and entering into a relationship with him. And that's what our faith and that's what our religion is all about. It's about entering into a relationship with God. It's about physically manifesting our faith and our love for Him. This HHS mandate says, no, you cannot do that. It's the first step of going in that direction. This is what we're called to do. We're called to follow Him. We're called to love as the church loves through all the services that we do. We're called to make the world a better place. As Christians and as Catholics in particular, we're called to transform the world. If we don't stand up for this now, we tie our own hands behind our back and we let the devil have his way with the world. The Polish people knows what that means. They've seen Auschwitz and Birkenau. I've seen it in Prague, people totally dead. We need to live our faith and allow that faith to manifest itself in the world. It's our faith that makes the world better, not worse. Many of the people would like to have you say you must suppress the faith because that's being mean. No, it makes the world good. It makes the world holy when you live that out, when you follow your call. Jesus is calling you now. He's calling you now to live your faith, to set aside the ways of the lies that suppress us, to truly live in the freedom of God's people, the freedom that Poland has now discovered.